I think that the secret does lie in being innovative, but also super positive. So being really positive has helped me a lot, and I've seen how that's affected every organization that I've worked for.
Hi, I'm Christine Shaw, CEO and President of Naylor Association Solutions, and I'm your host of the Association Advisor Podcast. We'll learn from successful association executives, partners, and clients on how to grow membership engagement and non-dues revenue to create a thriving, prosperous, and value-driven association. I invite you to join me in keeping informed and, most importantly, keeping your association profitable. Our goal is to leave you feeling inspired, more confident, and more knowledgeable. This is the Association Advisor Podcast. Hi, and welcome back to the Association Advisor Podcast, brought to you by Naylor Association Solutions. I'm your host, Christine Shaw. Joining me today is Diane Vance, Director of Sales and Business Administration for the American Occupational Therapy Association. Diane is a results-driven leader with over 20 years of experience in sales and marketing at high-profile membership associations. Together, we'll be discussing how creativity and innovation drive both revenue and engagement, how to motivate and lead a sales team to success, and how to define and set better goals to drive ROI. Sales and marketing are at the core of creating a successful and value-driven association, so I am really excited to share this conversation with you today. Let's get started. Welcome, Diane. I am so excited to have you on the Association Advisor Podcast. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me here.
Well, let's begin by sharing with our listeners a little bit about your journey into associations, as well as your background in sales and marketing and why you're so passionate about what you do.
Sure. Well, I did not study marketing in college. I studied psychology, and I was at University of Maryland, College Park, working at our alumni fund, so helping get pledges from alumni. And I actually spoke to a person who owned a company selling software packages to associations. So he ended up hiring me, and I would just call every person in the phone book, every listing that was association or society, I would call them and ask them if they were interested in buying in a mini system. So they were like membership databases.
Yeah.
So this company that I just happened to stumble onto, that's what they did. So that's how I got into this world so many years ago. And then when I graduated, I got a job with one of their clients. So it's like, it just happened to be in college, like fate. So the first association I went to was in the membership department. Then I went into sales after that. And I just felt that I loved it once I found out the talking aspect and working with other people and yeah, the creativity. I was just in it for getting more and more responsibility and just enjoyed it so far. So
yeah, you know, what I really love about that, Diane, and it's important to tell, especially the younger generation, is not to get so hung up about what you went to college for and what you end up doing, because it's not so unusual. You studied psychology and then you ended up having an amazing career in something unrelated, but you probably have some of your learnings that you can apply. And it's probably why you're good with people too, understanding them and how to motivate them from that background. But it's something I talk to a lot of college people a lot. Like, they get so worked up about, I don't know what I'm going to do. But you know what? You're a testament to, you get out there and get started and you don't really know and your career path will sort of take off. So
right. Because how would we know? Unless you have a certain calling, it's very hard to know. But then you get out there and then you kind of work your way into the place where you should be.
Absolutely. Well, you know, so you have a lot of creativity in your personality and your approach, and sales is not always thought of that way. But I would love for you to share a little bit about how your creativity drives engagement and innovation in your sales strategy.
It's true. We don't think of creativity that much with sales, but it's sometimes if you're in a sales management role, you're overseeing all the promotional products that the sales force uses. So that it's very helpful to have a creative flair with those things. So that's one way to use creativity. And an example in my career is one association I went to, I had to write the media kit and all the promotional materials, and I hadn't done that before. So I just had to get used to it really quick. I had to tap into the creativity, and I would do that by looking at the association's membership and maybe like the city that the conference was in and tying in that to make something eye-catching or fun to remember. So one example I had was like, if we went to New Orleans for a conference and I had to write the promotional piece for that, and we did like unmask the possibilities.
Oh, I love that.
Yes. So I did things like that. And then when I was with the Auto Dealers Association, a lot of them were parents, and I had to do the giveaways at our magazine's booth. And so I picked tires because that ties into what the auto dealer's doing. And then we put our magazine's website on the tread of the tire, but it was a yo-yo. So all the auto dealers were coming to us and they wanted one because they were parents. And I tried to just bring that mentality and the copywriting ability into all my other jobs. So when I went to a civil engineering association, and for our job board, we used, this is your blueprint for the future, our job board. So just tying in things like that, and it resonates with marketers too, because a lot of times we're working with ad agencies that are super creative. So if we show them the creativity, and then they want to work with us.
I love that. And you know what you're showcasing too, Diane, is you can really get one little hook and turn that into something cool that ties in. And you have to remember, at the end of the day, you're selling to people, and you have to get in the mind of them. And I think that's probably where your psychology degree helps you too, is like getting inside the mindset of a person and thinking like, what will appeal to them?
It's true. And so I have gone from auto dealers and, you know, getting to know them, and then civil engineers. And now I'm with occupational therapists, and it's very different. It's all about caring, hearts, things like that. So we can tie those kind of things into our promotional materials and, you know, our giveaways are like little puzzles. If we're trying to promote like our publication or something, we can use puzzles because that's something that's relevant to an OT's work.
Great examples. Thank you for sharing those.
Yes. And I've always tried to evolve. Like, you know, I used to use direct mail before, then email and social media. So I've actually had, at AOTA, we use LinkedIn to do a thank you reel to the sponsors. We weren't doing that. So a lot of times associations will have marketing departments, but their marketing is to members. So they will be marketing to members, like trying to, you know, sell the association's product to members, promote meetings to members, or recruiting new members. So there usually isn't a place necessarily for promoting to advertisers, exhibitors, sponsors. So that usually falls on sales management. So what I try to do also is, not only I've gotten good at writing these kind of materials myself, but also I will tap into the marketing team and say like, okay, if you're promoting that, can you also make sure that we say something about like, oh, interested in sponsoring? Contact Diane. So
love it.
Yeah. There's all sorts of ways you can be creative, and then being creative in finding advertisers, sponsors that wouldn't normally work with you. So just open your mind to what kind of advertiser, sponsor, partner wants to reach your audience.
And what's that expression? A mind is like a parachute. It works best when it's open. So I love that. Have you always considered yourself to be a creative person, or do you think that's a skill somebody can develop just by thinking a little bit outside the box?
I've always been creative. And whenever I've had like a personality test or whatever, it's always been right-brained. So innovation's always been a theme.
Yeah.
Maybe like experimental type, like I've been described as an experimental person. And that's the same trait that they find with like sales directors or entrepreneurs or designers. So really there's a lot of common ground there.
Yeah, there's a lot of crossover. What you're putting into perspective is how you can tap into that and then bring it to action and light in a sales environment, which is amazing. Now, in addition to that ability, Diane, you are incredibly good at driving success for your sales team. So tell us a little bit about your secrets to motivating a sales team and how you help them exceed goals and ROI for the association during a campaign.
I think that the secret does lie in being innovative, but also super positive. So being really positive has helped me a lot. And I've seen how that's affected every organization that I've worked for. So I need to be looking at the future and seeing the possibilities versus seeing obstacles. So I try to surround myself with people like that when I hire, and I look for them to be positive as well. But then also I look for drive and empathy in the sales team, and I have to have the correct compensation package in place for them. Being super positive, innovative, and having the right team, but then compensate them correctly. So we're giving them realistic goals they can shoot for. And I also try to look for the strengths of each person that I work with that reports to me. And so one of my dominant strengths is maximizer, which means that is the person that wants to polish the rough diamonds. So I look at people that report to me and I'm like, oh, well, that person, I didn't really have to teach them much. And they naturally caught that. So maybe let's run with that and give them more that has to do with that, like social media or something like that.
Yeah, no, I love that.
Yes. So I try to work with each person's skill set and giving them more of it. And that's what they used to call me in my last HR department, is like, I polish the rough diamonds. So I could like take employees from customer service and have them report to me, but then like kind of see what we can do with them.
That's great. And you know, what I like about your approach, Diane, is you start at the beginning with identifying talent and skills within the talent, and then you match that to the goals of sales and work with that talent in terms of how they approach their job. But you're also really astute to acknowledge that the compensation plan has to be correct. And mindset, the positivity is so huge, because as we all know in sales, you can have some really good days and really some not good days. And having a positive mindset is really make or break in that environment. So
yes, very motivational for them. And if I can get people that also are not focusing on obstacles, but focusing, looking at the horizon and seeing what's possible, and if we can get them to buy into that, and then if I keep things fresh by giving them new products, like looking at the landscape of like, are we having the most modern offerings? Yeah. And then motivating them that way. So being visionary too.
Yeah. And you know, that's stuff any sales leader, those are skills and a good strategy for any sales leader, regardless of you're in an association or not, to weave into their approach to managing a successful sales team. And you certainly have a great track record of doing that.
And I was also going to say, just also remembering to be like a good coach to these people and communication. Yes. So like, I communicate with them a lot.
I'm curious in that, because this is something, especially in a hybrid environment, communication is more challenging than it used to be. What are some of your tricks of the trade, and tell us what good communication looks like from your perspective?
Well, I noticed that I communicate more than a lot of people, right? So I understand that. And some of them might not know how to manage up yet, but I try to pull it out of them by, you know, weekly meetings, or just asking them questions, and that they know they can always come to me with anything. So
now the other part of this is, speaking of association world, most associations have a core mission and value proposition that they are working to achieve. How do you align your goals from a sales standpoint with this association's core mission and value proposition?
That's really important. So first of all, on the sales team, we should know our own association and our membership very well. So we should always know what our association's mission is and what are the areas of priority year after year. So like our association, what are we trying to do and what are we focusing on this year? So sales team should always know that. But then they should also know the members, and they should know what their day-to-day life is like, what their pain points are, what their biggest problems to solve. And the way we do that is meeting with someone on your staff. So like at every organization, I'm with American Occupational Therapy Association. We have a few occupational therapists on staff. So going to them and finding out that kind of information is one way to do it, or speaking to one of your members, or also paying attention to what they're saying on social media. So your association's social media platform is kind of staying plugged into that, to seeing what these questions are that they're throwing out to each other. And then also our LinkedIn group, like what are they saying on our LinkedIn group? So when we have that information, we can be more confident anecdotally when selling. So we can say, oh yeah, that product will resonate with our membership because we know this, this, and this from them. We know that, you know, this many of them work with children and they need that kind of specialty bed.
So you encourage your team to fully immerse in the ecosystem of the membership and to ensure that they're following them, they understand their pain points, and they know what it's like to walk in their shoes a little bit.
Yes. And that way we can better match companies to our audience by making sure there's alignment.
You know, I also love your thought around social media, because it's something we teach our salespeople too, is following your customers and understanding their brand, their voice, their tonality, how they operate on social media usually gives a lot of insight into what's important to them and how to have a productive conversation with them.
Exactly. And then just especially having that confidence.
Yes.
We know our membership. So we can approach you and say that you should be advertising to this group. You should be exhibiting. You should be sponsoring because we know this about them. And the other way is to take our association's top areas of focus and use them for your sales products. Like AOTA had priorities 1 year of like, okay, we're going to focus on entrepreneurship. So OTs who want to go out on their own, right? Yeah. Entrepreneurship. We want to focus on women's issues, mental health. We had these things, we're going to areas of priority. So I use those to do sponsored content articles. I kept those as my topics and I have sponsored content writer. And I said, okay, in our issue of our publication, these four issues are going to have sponsored content and then we're going to focus on this. So we went after the companies that were related and we were able to show them that this is a priority of the association in our membership. So it's perfect for sponsor alignment.
Yeah.
So we have to look at that for ways of making revenue.
No, I love that. It shows you align with your membership and what's important to them. And stitching that and weaving that into your content strategy is really brilliant, right? Because you're also providing them a resource for information by doing that. And then that leads into, you know, when you're doing that, it directly helps you create non-dues revenue through your sales and marketing. So talk a little bit about how that all connects.
I feel like this is strategic to do it this way. One way we did it was through the sponsor content pieces, but I also looked at our conferences. So we have, and the people that are planning our conferences, we're also trying to match these priorities. So if we have a conference, a specialty conference on mental health, and I have a sponsor content piece on mental health, we can bundle the sales. We can approach a company and say, oh, and we'll also distribute the publication at this specialty conference. So I had to like work cross-departmentally to get these things done, but just showing the creativity or showing how we can make these things happen to generate revenue and be super creative. And also, if you know your association's mission and your areas of focus, and you know your association's membership really well, you can approach non-endemic advertisers. And non-endemic. So those are the ones we consider that you maybe wouldn't think of as being completely in your industry, but they could be. Like for us, for occupational therapists, Zappos, they have adaptive shoes, yeah. But they're also looking at OTs because they would purchase their shoes for themselves, but then they can also use it in their work.
I love
so that. Like those are the kind of things that we're trying to look at. Also, there's corporate social responsibility. A lot of companies, like large corporations, they have this corporate responsibility area, and they're looking to partner with associations that could align in some way, like accessibility. So by looking on their website, you know, your prospect's website, and showing how it aligns with your association's mission. So then you could make a match, then you have alignment.
That's a good example of both strategy and creativity all coming together to have a really strong result for you and the association.
Yeah, so that's what I try to teach.
Yeah, and that goes back to the non-dues revenue, which is essential in being able to invest back into the association. And, you know, we know from working with you, Diane, you do a great job at that. So tell us and tell our listeners, what advice would you be willing to share with other association sales leadership? Since you're very good at what you do, there's others who still haven't gotten to this point, or they're maybe thinking about launching something like this. So give some advice that you've learned from your experience, please.
To always stay evolving and modern. And we do that by investing in your team. So I thought of this right away, the investing in your team part, because some associations aren't always able to do that, but I think it's the most important thing. So sending them to training, current sales training, where they maybe will meet other association executives that work in sales, things like that, where they can bring them together and they're learning, whether it's like exhibit management meetings or anything, people that work in sales for associations, ASAE, when they have like the part where sales gets together, marketing tracks, sales tracks, those kind of things where they can learn. I think it's super important.
Yeah, I share in that belief, Diane. It's so important, not just for the day-to-day of your sales team, quite frankly, any member of your team, but it's also about keeping their skills relevant and upskilling them constantly. We operate in such a fast-paced, changing world that the skills they came into your business with may not be the same skills that they need today. And so for me, ensuring your team is constantly having the training to stay modern with their skill set, just like we try to stay modern with our products and solutions. So kudos to you as a leader for understanding the importance of that. Because I find in some of my conversations, leaders will always say, well, we don't have the budget for that. And I'm like, how can you afford not to do it? Like, the loss of staff or opportunity outweighs the cost of investment.
Right. And then if you are trying to set goals for your team, like every association, they want us, when it comes time to review, is like set goals for the person. And it would be nice. It's really good to have a goal in there of like, oh, have that person get a certification.
Yeah.
So we have to have put the budget into that.
Absolutely. And I know, too, you mentioned a little bit about ASAE. They do a lot of great training as well. So
yes,
it's always helpful to check out ASAE's website and look at the opportunities. They have some great leadership. They have some great training, and then just in general, sales training. So Diane, you've given us a lot of good takeaways in terms of strategy, motivation, investing in team, understanding the association's membership, their priorities, following them on social media. I mean, this has just been a robust conversation with a lot of key takeaways. And so my last question is, tell us what you're reading and what you would recommend. We would love to hear. We're coming up with such a great reading list by all these podcast conversations. I know it's helping me too. I've learned a lot. So we want to hear what's on your reading list.
Well, I didn't come up with a business book.
It's okay.
So, but I think it's still really good and relevant and motivational. So I just read the biography of Darius Rucker.
I love that.
Yes. He's the lead singer of Hootie and the Blowfish. The bio is called Life's Too Short, and I loved it. Fantastic story. He's very honest. I love it.
So Tim McGraw wrote a book called Grit and Grace. Mm-hmm. And again, not a business book, but it really was. So many takeaways because, you know, it starts with learning their journey and what they went through. And it's like, at the end of the day, we're all human going through whatever career path or life path. And that's where we get our skills and learning from. So I love that it's not a traditional business book because I had such great outcomes from reading the Tim McGraw book. So I'm assuming it's similar and I'm going to get a copy of it.
Yes. And it's also about creativity, right?
Yes.
It ties back in to our theme.
I love it. Well, so how can our listeners stay connected with you and follow you and continue to learn from you, Diane?
I would love if they would all connect with me on LinkedIn, Diane Vance, CAE, two N's in Diane. And I'm also on X and it's at D Vance. So I was trying to make it advances.
Yeah. Oh, I liked it.
When I first got on Twitter.
Yeah. Everything you do has that creative element to it, Diane. I love it.
Thank you.
This certainly gave me a lot of food for thought. And I know whoever's listening here is also going to have some great takeaways. And it's a testament to your leadership and why you've had such a successful career and track record. So thank you for your willingness to share all this. And I can't wait to see you live in person, hopefully at the annual meeting coming up soon.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me be a part of this.
Have a great day, Diane.
Thank you for listening to the Association Advisor Podcast, brought to you by Naylor Association Solutions. If you'd like to access more resources to serve your association needs or join our newsletter, you can visit our website at naylor.com or just click the links in the show notes of this episode. Please be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast listening app, like Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to your podcasts so you won't miss an episode. Also, I'd love to hear from my listeners directly. Feel free to email me at christine.shaw@naylor.com. Until next time, we at Naylor are wishing your association success.